Strong women. Yes, we are strong, and yet, more than not, we're not considered that way. Makes me think about the Like a Girl campaign. Has anybody seen this? It's where people ask these basic questions about how does a girl run? How do they act? How do they throw a ball? And most who are asked, even women themselves, see girls as less than. One young boy in a video that I watched demonstrate how a girl runs. You know, flapping arms and hands, really just running with no destination, no focus, no purpose, no determination. Yet when he was asked if his sister ran that way, he had this look of fear on his face. And he said, no. He explained that his sister was a fast runner and a good thrower. So why? When asked about running like a girl, do we not see strength? Do we not see focus? Do we not see competence? The girls themselves, when asked about how they run and how they throw, were kind of split. Some acted as expected, pretending to be less than, while others stood tall, proud, showed their inner determination and their strength, and ran like hell. I found this interesting, and I wondered why. I wrote this sermon this morning for the women of First Parish, and yet I also wrote it for the men. And I wanted to think about it, think about this topic of intentional community. And we talked about it a little bit, and then I started writing the sermon, and I thought, I need to tell a little history. I need to tell a little story of how women have been relegated to being the weaker, fickler gender by a Western patriarchy propagated through biblical teachings of original sin. I wanted to tell the story of how women throughout history have been portrayed as being naive and too trusting. It all began in the Garden of Eden, Eve being tempted by a serpent to eat from the tree of knowledge instead of the tree of life. Our mythological mother was corruptible and capable of corrupting Adam, who also ate that apple. But we see Adam as being persuaded by Eve, and in many ways is remembered as not being to blame, really. It's kind of Eve's fault for being so able to woo Adam. Our creation mythology would have us believe that the female of our species are basically responsible for being cast out of the Garden of Eden, relegated to experience the pain of childbirth and ultimately death, cut off from God as punishment for our transgressions. We, ladies, are thought of being the cause of original sin. Thus, moving forward in history, Eve and women in general have been seen as temptresses and not to be trusted, inconsistent. Women in the Bible are portrayed as either virgins, hags, or harlots. Even Mary, a disciple of Jesus, was questioned. We have a choice, though. We can be either a good wife, or biblically, we could be a bad wife. What is clear is that men must own and subdue women. That's biblically clear. That our domain is the home and not the public square, for fear that all will run amok at our hands. This is a set of beliefs that have been a staple fare for millennia. And only within the last 100 years have women begun to acknowledge and embrace our power, gain the right to vote, work out of the home. Yet the mythology and the residual oppression remain, with women earning less than for the same work, struggling to maintain ownership of our bodies, and not being treated with the same respect as the males of our species. Interestingly enough, biblically, the spirit is considered to be feminine, known as wisdom and Sophia. Thus, women are inherently sacred. This is the foundation upon which I build this women's sermon, the truth. When I met with the women, the topics that we discussed were varied, ranging from what we should worry about to how our memories make us who we are, so what happens if we lose our memories, to what community is today. We wanted to honor all of the ideas, so in meeting, we tried to weave a tapestry of a topic that went something like this: intentional community, where memories and individual journeys bring us to a deeper understanding of what we should really worry about. It was absolutely unruly. And I sent out a sermon blurb to my women folk, and I received one email back that basically said, "Huh? Speak about intentional community." This was actually permission and a brilliant idea, actually, because what women strive to and for when we are at our very best is to endeavor to create and nurture intentional community. So what does it mean to be a part of a group of individuals who are committed to intentionally journeying and working together? How do we honor our differences and revel in our commonalities? And what does it mean to be in right relationship? A term that I have been hearing a bit about lately. Donna Bivens of the Women's Theological Center offers some helpful guidance: that we must be willing to tend relationships at all levels, personal, interpersonal, institutional, and cultural or ideological, creating and maintaining environments that inspire growth and transformation, in order to support individuals and collectives to live out our deepest, most life-affirming vision, mission, and values. My mind turns to the earliest days in the Jesus community, which gathered based on some of the same principles that we find important today: renunciation of violence, forgiveness, unconditional love. This community, founded on a gospel of love and equality, was an anomaly during its time because members saw themselves as brothers and sisters, even though they were from different tribes, professions, socioeconomical backgrounds. And yet they shared everything, and they got along like as a family, which was unheard of during this time in history. Just, they were absolutely an anomaly. They were known as that strange bunch of Jewish radicals. I wonder if it's possible to create such a community today, built upon that gospel of love. Do we have the patience, the tolerance to build it? Is this the beloved community that the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was calling for? A community in which we each feel as if we are part of something larger, something greater than ourselves, not a bystander, but instead a fully committed and caring participant. Are we able to suspend our judgment, distrust of one another, and let go of what holds us back from truly trusting and transforming? In the constantly moving and changing culture in which we live, what can we look for with hope? What does a congregation that is in right relation offer us? We have many reasons to doubt, to lose hope, and to despair over our own and others' behaviors, but despair is a self-fulfilling prophecy. Instead, Could we choose right relationship? Can we choose to act of people as if people can be good and we can trust them? Trust them not blindly, not foolishly, but hopefully. Maybe we can do this knowing that human beings are complex and that there are roadblocks and triggers that trip us up and prevent us from being our best selves at times along the way. We can each falter and not present our best selves at times. The real question is, can we forgive ourselves and one another? When our congregation chooses to live our Unitarian Universalist principles and purposes, what I refer to as our values, I believe that we are reaching, that we're striving for right relation. Intentional community requires transformational leadership, which happens when we all work and lead together, based on love, L-O-V. Living our values every day. Let's add the E. Love facilitates right relations and safe congregations that nourish us all. Thus, our congregation could become a life-affirming community where each one of us can live our best intentions, forgive ourselves and others when necessary, and celebrate what we have to share with one another. There are communities such as us, gathering all over the world with similar core values. Intentional communities such as the Omega Institute, or Krupalu, or the Plum Village, that is the home of Thich Nhat Hanh, they all rely on some form of what I will share. My favorite, holism, H-O-L-I-S-M, is to honor or the honor of the mind, body, heart, and spirit in each individual, realizing the need to balance and blend all these three elements. Holism encourages authenticity as a means to build trust as and essential to growing and development of the individual and the well-being of others and the world we share. Our core values include accountability, integrity, service, simplicity, sustainability, teamwork, and welcoming. Does this sound familiar at all? I think back to the Board of Trustees mission statement that I shared with you last year. Welcome, inspire, sustain, connect, and work for justice. Similar. The key to an intentional community is to be mindful in everything that we say and everything that we do. To do no harm. To speak our truth in love. I will be the first to admit that that is not always easy to say or to do. But it's really important. This is the reality of living with intention in community. We are conscious of why we are here, why we choose to be with one another in worship and work. Why? Why are we here? And every day we make that conscious choice, whether we want to do it again tomorrow. And then hopefully we show up as our best selves in right relation. We dare to love one another in spite of our best and worst selves. Maybe we even take the chance to be vulnerable with one another. Holy moly. We dare to step outside of what feels comfortable. Last week, some of us made the journey down Concord Road to Memorial Congregational Church, speaking of comfort. But it was more than just a journey of miles. It was a journey of ideologies. We sat in and amongst people who believe differently than we do, and yet we are not all that different from one another because we care about justice and equality in human relations. At the beginning of this year, when Reverend Tom and I commenced our work together in celebration of our 375th anniversary, we collaborated in writing a covenant. The Latin word covenant translates to come together in a promise from the heart. come together from a promise of the heart. And last Sunday, as we gathered, we shared these words aloud. In the spirit of love, light, and truth, we strive to remember and reconcile our common past, realize our common work towards building the beloved community, and respond through service to humanity. We gather as one community, welcoming all to join us on this journey. That is us together. Sharing that covenant with one another last week brought me to think about our covenanted relationship that we created before I was actually here. How many of you know the essence of our covenanted agreement? A couple of you. So this is what we would consider our promise from the heart, that we hold one another accountable to. For those of you who don't know, it's located on our website. And this is what it says. We, the people of First Parish of Sudbury, pledge that we will come together with open minds and open hearts, always seeking to learn, to share, to respect, and to forgive, and to help each other grow towards our best selves. One community, first and foremost, compassionate, respectful, and generous, we pledge to listen to each other, express our views openly, handle disagreement with honesty, humility, and humor, and nurture our sense of belonging together. We pledge to participate in the work of the congregation to the best of our abilities, to practice and encourage leadership, and to support our ministry materially, emotionally, and spiritually. Are we in right relation? Are we being intentional about our promise of the heart that we have made with one another? Each one of us is responsible for answering this question. Am I in right relationship with myself, with my family, with my friends, with my tribe? I know that at times we are in right relation, but at other times we are not. Each moment we have the opportunity, though, to begin again. We have the chance to believe in and be in right relationship with everyone. We make that decision moment by moment to create the intentional community of our dreams. When we are at our best, when we truly are mindful of one another, our needs and our treasures, we are unstoppable. And our souls honestly feel fed. When we are at our best, when we do not get sucked into mythology and stereotypes as the way to oppress and make any one of us feel less than, we are free. This is the work of being intentional, to see that just like a girl or reproductive rights are not just a woman's issue, it is a human issue. If we are to be able to be in right relation and be the big builders of the beloved community, we must listen to what is being said and done in this world and reimagine a kinder, gentler, safer garden of our own design. There is so much more that I could say about intentional community and about the strength of women to build community, to be participants equally in community. But instead, I turn to a poem. This discussion has only just begun. The poem, Phenomenal Woman, by Maya Angelou. Pretty women wonder where my secret lies. I'm not cute or built to suit a fashion model size. But when I start to tell them, they think I'm telling lies. I say, it's in the reach of my arms, the span of my hips, the stride of my step, the curl of my lips. I'm a woman, phenomenally phenomenal woman, that's me. I walk into a room just as cool as you please, and to a man, the fellows stand or fall down on their knees. Then they swarm around me, a hive of honeybees. I say, it's the fire in my eyes, and the flash of my teeth, the swing in my waist, and the joy in my feet. I'm a woman, phenomenally, phenomenal woman, that's me. Men themselves have wondered what they see in me. They try so much, but they can't touch my inner mystery. When I try to show them, they say they still can't see. I say, it's in the arch of my back and the sun of my smile, the ride of my breast, the grace of my style. I'm a woman, phenomenally, phenomenal woman, that's me. Now you understand just why my head's not bowed. I don't shout or jump about or have to talk real loud. When you see me passing, it ought to make you proud. I say, it's in the click of my heels, the bend of my hair, the palm of my hand, the need for my care, because I'm a woman, phenomenally, phenomenal woman. That's me. May it be so. Blessed be. Amen.